Hello. Check, check. I think my sound might be a little weird. I just got a MacBook Pro. So it should be way better, but I'm also recording. I'm trying to use the old where the old sessions were on my other computer, so that might be complicating things. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Well, it's there, but it's not here, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so this was just an awful start to the show. Can we start over? Like they say in shows all the time, can we start over? Can people do that? Can people start anew? We're on 2 Samuel. Oh, yeah. This is our first episode on 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, same as the first. Let's see, is there anything to say? No, not really. This is my second show in a row. I mean, technically it's my 70th show in a row, but it's my second show on time in a row. So that's good. So let's just start. And now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. I just realized I'm reading from the wrong thing. Let me click over to the right thing. Otherwise, I'd have to click every 2 seconds. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, and I also... Sorry, bear with me. I don't have prep time. I barely have time to do this show. I'm pretty important, so I gotta take down my volume because it's so loud. And I have a strict no editing ever policy, so you're just gonna have to live with this. I'll just distract you. Hey, look over there. I'm changing these settings. Don't look at me while I'm... Anyway. And it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent. So he... yeah. Didn't buy him. He's renting some clothes. Earth upon his head. I know that just means he's dirty, but it's kind of funny to think of, like, just a pile of dirt on this guy's head. He walks out, rented clothes, and, which obviously means they're torn up, and earth upon his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said, I just burrowed up from the ground. That's why I have all this dirt on me. And he said to him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from battle, and many of the people are also fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me, and called unto me. And I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said to me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. That's weird. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither unto my lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them. And likewise all the men that were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he said, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called, well, I'm guessing because the Lord's anointed has destroyed him so many times and his people. Could be it. And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. So they just killed him. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, along with that dirt that was on thy head. For thy mouth hast testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. So this guy was pretty much guilty of the crime of driving while being a Amalekite. So that old cliche. So essentially what happened was a guy came. Let's see. Where did we leave off? I don't know. They were fighting. Saul and David were fighting, kind of. And there was a war. And this guy... Oh, yeah, that's right. When we last left off, Saul's sons had died, and he died. But I thought, like, he killed himself or... Yeah, I thought... Remember, that was the... They all fell upon their swords. That was that whole thing. And so that's weird. So this guy comes... presumably, this guy is just a scavenger, and he kind of picked up the Saul's things, like his crown and his bracelet. And he brought him to David and claimed to have killed Saul. Said, like, I killed Saul, you know, that's why I have these. And I think he thought David would be happy because David has kind of been fighting with the Israelites. But David's, you know, turned out that he was not happy, and he had this guy killed because he was an Amalekite, mainly, probably. Yeah, so that's where we are. And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Parentheses, also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, end parentheses. Kind of a weird thing out of nowhere there. The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? And it looks like we have another... Oh, yeah, this is another instant classic for the Old Testament best of album. It looks like this is a song. Because he says, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew. So it's funny, for as much as these people hate the gays, and they certainly do, they sure do spontaneously burst out into song a fair amount, I think, more than your standard gay-hating straights. So, I don't know. Interesting. Ye mountains of... Yeah, I already read that. I already sang that, rather. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, or the fields of offerings. I'm not going to make anything up. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. These lyrics are not very good. It's not a great song. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. It's not going to be... it's not going to chart, I don't think. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. You know, it doesn't make sense that he's mourning so much about Saul. Because they were just fighting. I mean, I guess it's like they were, you know, he's an Israelite and David's supposed to be all high and mighty and loves him some Israelites and stuff. But you know what? I just remembered that David and Jonathan, they kind of had a gay love affair. Like, it really seemed like it to me. it was the heat. You could just feel it coming off. I was there. I wonder if what happened here was that David kept singing all this stuff about Jonathan and started getting a little uncomfortable. So the scribe or whoever was writing all this was like, I'll just go. You meant Saul too, right? You're mourning both of them. Right? I'll just go ahead and I'm just going to write Saul. Like every time you've said Jonathan, cause it's been, I could go back through the page. It's been quite a few times, but, I'm going to go ahead and just write Saul as well. You're probably talking about both of them, I presume. you've said Jonathan a lot, but I assume you mean them both. They were both dead, and they were your friends, kind of, at one time. They're both Israelites, so even though you keep going on and on about Jonathan, his hot body, and how much you're going to miss his lovemaking, I'm just going to assume you're going to miss both of their lovemakings, so that this doesn't get weird. Nah, it's still weird. Ye daughters of Israel, this is more of this terrible song. It's like a Stairway to Heaven in length. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. And don you now your gay apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Holy crap. So I swear to you, the first time I went through this, I totally glossed over this line. I didn't even know. I made all those gay jokes before even registering that line. Because this was another one of those songs, which comes from time to time, and I just ignore it because they're really boring. But, yeah. Where was I? Yeah, now I'm just 100% sure that they totally boned. And look, I don't care that he was gay. I don't care that they were gay lovers. I just care that he's like one of the pioneers of a religion that hates gay people. And he's from the old book, the book that people try to ignore and claim doesn't really mean anything anymore, that actually hates gay people. And I don't know now how he could deny being gay. Just listen to how gay that sentence was. That is one of the gayest sentences. You know, the Bible was written early enough on that this could be the gayest sentence yet written, yet wrote, writ, as it were. Listen, quote, "Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." You know, he didn't even need the second part. Like, the first part was already gay. If you're saying that and about another guy, thy love, first of all, thy, that's right away you're starting off gay, super gay. Thy. If I ever say thy, it's probably because I've gone gay, which it's probably going to happen, probability-wise. Thy love to me was wonderful. You could stop there, and it already suspicions are mounting. But and then he just goes on and just says it, passing the love of women. Yeah, okay. Well, you were being, you know, somewhat sneaky. I wouldn't say you were getting away with it, but you were, people were able to just sort of say, like, plausible deniability, like, whatever, they're very close, you know, they're very good friends. But then he said, passing the love of women, and everyone's like, we can't deny this anymore. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? That was in the... That was in the Bible. That wasn't me just saying, like, oh, how the mighty are fallen after that. So that's the end of that book. You know, I have to, I have a no editing policy, but I have to stop this because it's really throwing me off. I don't know if you could tell, like, you probably could tell how horrible that was. It's because I have myself in my ears, the volume right now, like the loudest thing in the world. And it's half of what it was at the start of this podcast. But I have to pause this and turn this down somehow. I don't know what's going on with my new sistema here. Yeah, so not editing, because I will never edit, which I probably should, but I don't care. I've started not editing now, and I'm going to continue not editing. So I'm going to pause, and it will be no time for you, so I don't know why I'm even mentioning it. I could have just, like, done mid-sentence. Here, I'll practice it. I'll go, hey guys, how are you doing? Yeah, see, that was all in the same time. No, actually, several months have passed. It's way quieter in my ears now, so I should be better. Honestly, that was really throwing me off. I was holding an intense magnifying glass to just how unfunny I am. That's, man, I didn't like that. I'd rather never hear myself. So now that I can't hear myself at all, I can just pretend that everything I say is funny. It's perfect. It's like if you never look at yourself in the mirror. I mean, you whatever, just get fat, ugly, doesn't matter. You don't see it. So we're on chapter 2. And I'm going to be way funnier now. Trust me. Samuel 2, chapter 2. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." Hold on. It never gets old to me how the Bible talks about people, like humans, just casually chatting with the Lord, you know, like with the creator of the entire universe. Like, so you have a direct line to the creator of all of everything. And you say, "Hey, should I go and over, should I walk over to any of those cities?" Like, I wonder if God really is thinking, like, that's what you want to ask me right now? Should you walk with your weak, feeble human legs in your completely boring realm and your sorry-ass planet? Should you walk over to this from one minuscule time? I don't even know where you are, to be honest with you. I lost track. You're like one little pixel to me. Should you go to another little pixel that I equally don't care about? That's what... Look, I opened this direct line to you thinking maybe, you know, like I've been neglecting you guys. Like maybe I'd answer some questions, maybe I'd grant some requests. And that's what you asked me. Like, should you go over to another place on that slightly bigger place that I don't care about? Like I barely even to me. Like, I wonder if that's what God thinks sometimes. I mean, this is the whole point of atheism, but it's kind of funny how obvious it is that this isn't God. how obvious it is that they're not talking to God. There's no one here is communicating with an all-powerful being. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that right now. All right, I'll move on. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. She sounds really delicious. those Carmelites. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have shewed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord shew kindness and truth unto you. And I will also requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But little Abner, son of Ner, little Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul. I guess there's one son. I thought all Saul's sons died, but I guess back in those days, you had 60 sons from 20 different wives. You know, like, you can never really kill all of a man's sons. if the Amalekites are any indication. Oh, well, they're a superhuman breeding, multiplying race. But even of the normal ones, when especially of a king, when you're king back then, these people really were all about the sanctity of marriage. So they had 20 or 30 wives each when they're kings, anyway. Very, very sanct. Wait, what's the singular of sanctity? Or not singular, what's the... I don't know the part of speech, whatever. Sanct? Sancti? How do you say one, like, if something has sanctity, marriage has sanctity, what is a marriage? What is a marriage? Sanctified, I guess? Sanctified? Yes, okay. We'll go with that. As you can see, I really am pretty all about this no editing policy. But so is the Bible. I'm emulating the Bible in that way. The Bible is certainly all about not editing anything. It just says whatever. The Bible says whatever the hell they felt like writing several times over, repeats itself, and that's what I'm going to do too. Because I like to walk in the Lord's footsteps and follow his example. Because he is the Lord our God. I'm just stalling while I'm trying to find where I left off and what the hell I was saying. You can't kill a man's sons. He's probably got 20 sons we don't even know about. They don't even mention, you know, unless they come into play. And made him king over Gilead. So we took one of these many bastard sons, or non-bastard sons, I guess, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin. All those were cities, but then Benjamin's like one guy. Let's see, this city... Jezreel, you know, Ephraim, that city. Oh, and this guy, Benjamin, you're also king over him. He's like, God damn it, really? Oh, man, I thought I was going to get away without having a king over me. And over all Israel. Well, why don't you just say that? Over all Israel kind of covers all those things, right? Ish-bosheth, which is this guy's name. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. And reigned 2 years. They always give away the ending. He apparently dies or something in 2 years because his reign ends. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. and little Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the these are really hard today. This is a challenge. And the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. Just hung out by the pool. Try to catch some, you know, pick up some chicks. And they sat down, worked on their tan. The one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. Okay, I don't know why it's going to this detail. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now rise and play before us." It's getting a little gay again. And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertaineth... Oh, I just made that up. Which pertained to Ishbosheth. Maybe that's why I made it up. The son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught everyone his fellow by the head and thrust the sword in his fellow's side. So that's not a very fun game. So they fell down together, wherefore that place was called Helkathazarum, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. So what happened there was they're having like a meeting between the two sides, I think, or something like that. And they said, they decided, look, let's rather than have a big war, let's just get 12 of our hottest guys, get 12 of our hunkiest hunks to fight each other. And supposedly they all just each stabbed each other and they all died. So exactly a tie, I guess. And then I think because it was a tie, I think they just said like, okay, I guess we got to fight a war then. And there were three sons of Zeruiah. That's a combination of vowels I'm not used to. Zeruiah there, and Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And he could make that claim because no one knew what a wild roe was. And Asahel, no one ever challenged it. They always just heard like, oh, really? There was a lot of like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I'm as light a foot as a wild roe. That's R-O-E. People would be like, oh, wow, a wild roe, you say? Okay. All right. Could be the roe is like actually the fattest, slowest, just shittiest animal that ever existed. There was only one of them and it just died instantly because it was so fat. But no one knew that. Like if you just said light of foot as a wild roe, people were like, oh, a wild roe. Because I mean a domesticated roe, they're fast, but a wild roe. Okay. And Asahai. No, I keep thinking that L is an I. Sorry. Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right or to thy left, and lay thee hold one of the young men." Where's this going? "And take thee his armor." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. Okay, so this guy wants to kill Abner for some reason. I think they're in the midst of a war, kind of, or a battle. And Abner, who's like the leader of, one of the leaders of the insurrection against David, little Abner, appointed the one guy, Saul's son, to be king, pretty much. So anyway, this guy's going after Abner. I think he's mad at Abner. And Abner's like, dude, just lay off me, bro. Just go find yourself a hot man. But he refused. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? Then how should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of his spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him. And he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. He killed him. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner, and became one troop, and stood on the top of An Hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, every one from following his brother." So Joab blew a trumpet, and the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, passed over Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulchre of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night. They came to Hebron in the break of day. I thought I had a note, but it's not. It's in the next chapter. Yeah, so that's the end of that chapter. It just occurred to me, though. I think it's funny how... So a lot of times after these battles, they'll brag about how, you know, like... So in this case, 19 of their men died, but 300 men died. So like 360, I guess that is, died of the other side. And it's always supposed to be this like, wow, surely they must have God with them if, you know, 19, only 19 died on that side and that many. But then I was thinking like, what if you're one of those 19 though? How lame is that? Like, yeah, we had God on our side, and definitely we totally killed the other side. But you know, I was one of the 19 that died. You know, or say you're sitting there dying, like, God, why did? Can't it just be zero? Can't zero people die from our side? Look, why do any have to die? I don't get it. We're doing this miraculous thing. Yeah, I get it. Okay, it's a miracle. We killed way more of them than they did of us. Why do we need any of us to die if we're the side that's on God's side? You know, like, how about zero dead on our side and, you know, X dead on their side, however many that needs to be. I don't know. You're God, but just why if you're the family of one of those 19 that died, you're like, oh, come on, what are the odds? Only 19 died and had to be my smelly husband. Okay, on to chapter 3. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Isn't that the same as just saying they waned? I thought that was what that meant, but maybe not. And unto David's sons were born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinom the Jezreelitess, and his second Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. He had lots of caramelized sons with that wife. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. I just love when they have all these names. This makes for such exciting reading. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. So it's just going over his sons. It doesn't care about the women. Who cares? He could have 100 daughters. They could have been very productive members of that society, but we'll never know. We will never know. Because it's just his sons. And like I was mentioning earlier, one could have many sons back then from many wives because their marriage was sanctified. The institution of marriage was very sanctified back then. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone unto my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head which against Judah which do shew kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and to more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him. To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. Okay, so what happened there was Abishmashneth, I already forget his name. Abishmash, where is it? Ishbosheth. I'm just going to call him Imhotep. That's easier to remember now. Ishbosheth. Saul had a concubine, right? And Abner, little Abner, just decided, like, I'm going to enter into that concubine, which is how they said it back in the day. I'm going to enter into that concubine. And then Ishbosheth, Imhotep, said, "Hey, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine?" You know. And I don't know that he was mad. We don't know. He just said, like, "Hey, why are you in my father? What are you doing in that concubine? Get out of that there concubine." Maybe he just wanted to talk to him, like, "Hey, what you doing in that concubine?" You know? But Abner was, I guess he had a guilty conscience, or he knew that, you know, he knew something we didn't about Ishbosheth, and knew that Ishbosheth was mad. And so he's like, "Oh, come on, man. Like, everything I've done for you, and you're not even going to let me go in under this concubine here?" Like, and so Abner, just because of this, was like, "All right, that's it. I'm making David king. I'm out. And so Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee, to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, that thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espouse to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." Ugh. You can keep your foreskins. I want my wife Michal back. And Ishbosheth, how is this working? Make thy league. David sent messages. I don't get it, because it sounded like David was telling. Wait. Oh, no, okay, sorry. I guess Abner was telling David to bring him Michal, David, what? Saul's daughter? I don't know. Because it sounded like David wanted his old wife back. He's like, "Man, I only got like 5 wives now. I'm boring. Man, am I tired of these wives. Same 5 vaginas every night." which can get tiresome, let me tell you. And he's like, "You know, I miss that one wife that I traded 100 foreskins for that wife. These ones combined, my other 5, I don't know, 80 foreskins at most." That's what I thought, but now David's sending, so like I thought the condition of the agreement was like, "Hey, bring me back my other wife," but then David sends messengers to Ishbosheth saying, "Give me my wife," which doesn't make any sense, so I'm just going to go ahead and not care, but point out that that's weird. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish, and her husband went with her along weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go, return," and he returned. Interesting. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David I will say..." Sorry for the pause. "By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and out of the hand of all their enemies." And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel and all that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, "I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he had sent him away, and had gone in peace, as I just said. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. And Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going in and thy coming in, going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers. Okay, so what happened is Joab, I think Joab's kind of jealous. Well, actually, Abner murdered Joab's brother. So that there's your motivation right there. And look no further than the fact that Abner murdered Joab's brother. Forget the other thing I said. And so when Joab learns that David's meeting with Abner, he's understandably a little upset. And when Joab was come out from David, which doesn't sound good, it could also be a lover's quarrel if Joab was like in David, he sent messengers after Abner. He's like, oh, that bitch, I'm getting that. Which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. So he did this behind David's back. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Azahel, his brother. What's with this fifth rib thing? What are the odds that two murders in a row would happen like that? Well, I guess it's one in however many ribs we have. One divided by the number of ribs we have, assuming you always stab between the first rib and the last rib. just to put some math to that. Yeah, no, that's a little weird. I don't know why it started doing that all of a sudden. But anyway, and afterward, when David heard of it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and all on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath issue, or one that is leper, or one that leaneth on a staff, or falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Azahel at Gibeon in the battle. So David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes. And they're like, I just got done renting my clothes from when the last time. God, why are we constantly going through clothes? Look, David, because every time David does something, they have to do it. You know, he's like, so all the servants are probably, all the people that were with him. I was like, David, you're the king, right? You have tons of clothes. I get it. You're upset. You can ruin your clothes, but everybody has to do whatever you do. So, you know, we don't have that many sets of clothes. We're not the wealthiest nation here. We're sort of still at war. We're still hunted. You know, it's not like we have clothes. Clothes don't grow on trees. Okay. And, the fact that we have to rend our clothes every time something bad happens to you, like, could you just pull on them a little? Don't tear them up. Just kind of, oh, you know, give it like a little pull. Say, you can't see what I'm doing. We get the point. We get it. You're sad. And then everyone will kind of do that. They'll be like, and they'll be like, oh, thank God, I don't have to buy a new shirt. Can you do that? And King David himself followed the buyer. How do you say that word? I don't know. B-I-E-R. Beer? Buyer? I know I've heard that and know the pronunciation, but I can't remember. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. See, everybody has to do what he does. So everybody's like, so he starts crying like a little baby. And all the men are like, do we have to cry like a little girl like that? Like, I don't, shut up. You got to do what the king does. Oh, okay. How do you, I like to picture a bunch of men who don't care that much, like pretending to cry. But like trying not to make too much. You don't want to draw attention to yourself. I don't even know how you would do that. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept over him again. And this is one of those rare bits of good writing in the Bible. It does happen occasionally. I think that's a kind of interesting little line. Because he's like, died you as a fool does because your hands weren't bound. It's not like you were executed or, you know, it's not like you were murdered in battle or whatever, killed in battle. He died just like not fighting at all. And he says, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. I think this is a nice little bit of writing. It's interesting. All right, one little bit there. And when the people, when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And I wonder if this is, I'll keep reading. And all the people took notice of it and pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. I wonder if this was, because everyone has to do what David was doing. I wonder if, maybe David's a slight fellow. Maybe he doesn't eat that much. And people are like, God, I'm so freaking hungry. I hate it when we're in the mode of doing just what David does. Because, God, that guy does not eat very much, I wonder if they're like, David, you need to eat something. Like, look, you look hungry. You really need to keep your strength up. While you're at it, why don't you, drink a little bit and have sex with some women or whatever. Just thoughts. Just stuff, And we'd all have to do that too. Just, I that rule. But that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. I think you look like a man who needs to have sex with a few people and eat some meat and drink and all that. And he's like, nope, not going to do it. And the king said unto his servants, for all the people and all, sorry, I skipped. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. So he's making this display to sort of show, like, look, I didn't want to murder Abner. I was friends with Abner. I have a lot of friends that are Abner. I know people who know people who are Abner. So I think he was making kind of a display. Maybe he's just trying to keep the peace, which, understandable. Good tactic. So this is the last chapter of our reading, and it's pretty short. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of one was Bana, and the name of the other was Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite, and the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth was also was reckoned Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittim and were sojourners there until this day. And then they stopped right now. They just, till this day, they stopped right now. They just stopped. Just as of when I read that, this day, they just stopped being sojourners. God, isn't that amazing how the Bible does that? The Bible knew exactly this day, right now, right when you were reading it. Bam, they stopped being sojourners. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who had a son who had a son. Saul's son had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. It came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab and Bana, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay in the bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib. What are the... Three in a row. Fifth, same rib. Now those are tough odds, because those... That's three... That's one divided by the number of ribs we have, times one divided by the number of ribs we have, times one divided by the number of ribs. That's a lot. And let's say we have... I have no idea how many ribs we have. Let's say... We probably have like 80 ribs, but just to be generous, let's say we have, 12 ribs. I really don't know this. I don't care. Let's say we have 10 ribs. Keep the math simple. So 1 divided by 10. times 1 divided by 10 times, that is a point, by my math, and this is very precise, there is a 0.001% chance of that happening. That is astronomical. The odds that that many people would be stabbed in a row under the fifth rib. This is miraculous. I've just proved a miracle. No, it's fine. I'm sure that's just a saying or whatever, but it's funny that we've never read it until now, and then we read it three times in a row. I wonder if that means we're on a new author. I mean, we know Samuel isn't writing this, since he's been dead for a good 80 years at this point. I don't even know. And we're just starting 2 Samuel. Yeah, so for when they came into the house, he lay in his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, and they slew him, and they beheaded him, and took his head, and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, "Behold, the king of Ishbosheth." They're like, "Behold, we never have to say this guy's name again, because that's the only reason we killed him. It's just I'm sick of trying to say Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life. And the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and his seed." And David answered Rechab and Banah's brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and said unto them, "As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity? When one told me, saying, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag." This was the gentleman from earlier who was driving while Amalekite, who they killed. "Who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings? How much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house, upon his own bed?" I almost read horse. "In his own horse, upon his own bed." I don't know what he was doing there. "Would you kill a man on his own horse in his bed? I shall not, therefore, now require his blood. Sorry. Shall I not, therefore, require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth?" And David commanded his young men, and they slew him and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. That's the end of our reading here. Yep. Yeah, I don't have not much to say. Those of you, well, actually, I think anyone who's listening to this probably is already familiar with my other podcast, F This Podcast, but screw it. I'm going to say it anyway. We just got a news girl, Angela. Maybe she's listening. Hi, Angela. Yeah, she's awesome. And it's turned into now more of a, I don't know, it's good. I'm going to do it every Sunday. I'm turning over a fifth new leaf with this show, as I've said a billion times. But now that I have news girl, Angela, to make me do stuff, we're going to do a show every Sunday. Sam is still doing it, but he's really busy now, so it's a little tough, but I think he's going to still be able to do it. At the very least, he'll be able to be on the show for half the show or whatever, or he might just be able to do it. Anyway, the show's great, so please check it out. Or facebook.com/fthisthepodcast, I think is the Facebook. Fthisthefacebook. Or also, please like my Facebook, which is facebook.com/TNTheB, I believe. And I should do these plugs every time so that people follow them or just tune them out. Please write a review on iTunes if you haven't already, although, like I said, you dedicated listeners who got this far, I'm sure you have. But yeah, that's great, and thank you to everyone who has done any number of those things. And to the rare gentleman or gentlewoman who has done all those things, I don't know. Contact me, and I will not give you anything, but I will be very happy and say thank you. That's probably not worth the effort, but sorry, I wish I had more to offer you. All right, that's enough of me. See you next show.